appreciate all of you being here this morning, just a small group this morning, which means that it's going to be more intimate, right? It's going to work out good. And I have something I want to talk to you about today. It's very important. And I'm glad that we put these online so that you can go back to them on the Living Fellowship site and look at them and listen to them. So even those that aren't here, they'll still get the opportunity to hear this word. I love that. So I hope everyone online is doing good. We know several of you may be sick and so forth, but or have injury, but God's working on you. He's going to help you. This too shall pass. I always like that. You know, when I go through things, I mean, I'm talking about even here. I think our air conditioning went out a few couple days ago, and we had to get that fixed. And then my son had problems yesterday trying to come to you. His car messed up, had to turn around and go back home. You know, things happen, don't they? They do happen. So, but those are things that we have to deal with. Everybody has to deal with things like that. But I just appreciate God doing what he's doing for me. I love the direction that we're heading right now in the things of just pleasing God. That's the thing. You know, you want to please God. I think I never would have entered into anything because I wasn't raised in church. I wasn't raised in church or anything. I didn't start thinking about God until I was in the Marine Corps and almost getting ready to get out my last year in the Marine Corps. And then that's when everything started happening to me. I was already a grown man and making decisions, a lot of bad ones, and all that stuff. And then God just, I don't know, I needed something in my life, and God filled that void, man. He started pulling me into things. So I just think it's a great thing, you know, and I've been wanting to serve him ever since. I've been learning more. I went a long time in ways of being taught wrong. You know, religion taught us a lot of wrong things. But we thought we were serving God. We thought we were working, you know, into it, the whole deal. But you know what? Sometimes you can learn things wrong, you know. I think about a friend of mine that was used to driving a stick, you know, in a truck. And then he bought his first automatic car, but he used to put both of his feet up there all the time. He's so used to it, you know, we get into a habit, don't we? And he had to break himself of that habit because he was causing himself problems trying to drive automatic now. But you know, something as simple as that, you know, and then you have to retrain yourself. Well, that's us here. But what about in God? Don't we just learn more as we go along? As we go along, God opens our understanding. Greater things start. We start understanding why God did what he did. Why God is the way he is. All of this. He is love. When it says God is love, that is a perfect thing for God. He is total love. I mean, what love really means. People say that word love here in this world very quickly. And I this is my opinion I'm getting ready to say right now. A lot of people come up and say, I love you. You know, we're going to get married. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Hey, let me tell you something. You can't love anybody until you learn them about them. You may throw that word around. You may be attracted to somebody, but you don't love them until you get to know them, you know? And it's a funny thing. I hear people say, love at first sight. Well, to me, that's attraction at first sight, you know? There are things, and sometimes it works for some people, and sometimes it does not. You go back and you ask people that have been in relationships for a long time, and say, was it love that drew you, or was there something else you were looking at there and you thought maybe that could meld and come together? And that's usually what it is. And then you learn to love as you go along. Some people are not blessed to be married as long as I have, you know, 48 years with my wife. There's things she knows about. Sometimes we finish each other's sentences, and that's scary sometimes. We say something, and she'll be thinking the same thing and finish it off. But that's what God wants. He wants us to be together, knitly joined together, just like the body of Christ. Doesn't he say that even the marriage thing is supposed to be a one flesh relationship, right? Well, people try to do that in the world, and they fail miserably at it. That's why half of all marriages end in divorce, because they're not using God for it. They're just saying we're supposed to have this one flesh. And even religion says that. We're supposed to have this one flesh relationship, and then they immediately go into a fleshly way of thinking about it to try to make it happen. And that's why divorces happen. Doesn't work. Your flesh is involved in it. The world is involved in it, what the world thinks. Very tough things. But there is something I've learned about God that I'm continuing to learn on this journey, is that God came, sent us a servant by the name of Jesus Christ. Really, that's what he is. You think about all the things that Jesus did for us. Did he redeem us? Yes, he did. Did he bring us salvation? Did he become the sacrifice to take away sins? Was he our teacher? Is he the apostle of our soul? Doesn't he say that? It says he's the apostle. And so find that scripture for me, or just to tell me where it's at. He's always been our servant. Gosh, he died for us. He took away sin. The whole deal, he's been a servant the whole time. The Father, remember when they all this came together, you go back and read in Hebrews, and it says, a body hast thou begotten me, you know. And then he says, but it's written of me in the volume of the book, lo, I come to do thy will, O God, right? Didn't it say in the fifth chapter of Revelation, it said, heaven was searched, earth was searched, under the earth was searched, couldn't find anybody, huh? So the Lamb comes up before the throne in the fifth chapter of Revelation, says, and he prevails. He says, I'll do it. I'll be the one. And he takes the book out of the hand of the Almighty God, takes the book out of his hands, and turns around and sits down in that throne, in that seat. That Lamb is Christ. And he sits in the place of God. And he opens those seven seals. Nobody else could do it, but he opens them up. That's a good chapter to read. So he put himself in that place to do things for us. He was a servant. So as that servant, Father asked him to do certain things. Guess what he did? I'll do what you want. I'll come to do thy will, O God. That's what he says. So what our example should be is, should we be a servant like that too? Oh, yes, most assuredly. God wants it, we'll say we'll do it. Boom, that's it. You know, God says it, we're ready. You can find that scripture, Ernest, where it's at? Yeah, I can use that one. And I can't remember. Okay, it's Hebrews, is it 3:1? Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Wow. Partakers of what? The heavenly calling. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Apostle and high priest. So is he serving us still? What did the priest do? Didn't he serve the people? The apostles, you know, coming to preach the gospel to the whole world, you know. 12 men changed the whole world. So that he's the high one. He's the one. He's the servant. So we say, yeah, he's high and lifted up. He's God in the flesh. We say all those things. But come back to considering what he actually was. He was a servant. Didn't he tell the Father, I come to do thy will? Yeah, we know that. But he said, I'm going to speak what you tell me to speak. I'm going to go where you tell me to go. That's what I'm going to do. And it's very important. He was obedient to the Father in all things. Well, what does a servant do? A servant is obedient to his master. Isn't that true? So there's something I'm going to read to you today. Let's go to the 13th chapter of John. Very powerful. I think about this different than most people, I think. Just starting at verse 1. And it's talking about the Feast of the Passover. I'm not going to read this whole thing. I'm going to talk about things in between. But there's a couple of things I want to read to let you know that it's in there. And it said, Jesus knew his hour had come, that he's going to be sacrificed for us. As that servant again, he's doing it for us. Okay? And having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And here's the part I want you to catch. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So at this supper, God is there in the flesh. Well, who else is there? Satan is there. And he puts himself into the heart of a follower of Christ. Now, I want you to think about the setting here. This has already happened. This was a sign to Jesus. It was a sign to him. He said, okay, this is the sign now. He said, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God. That's how, that was a sign. He said, okay, when we see this, this is going to be the beginning of these things that you're going to have to do, that you're going to have to go through in order for us to be saved. Who is our salvation? It's Christ. He's our salvation, right? So the salvation of God is Christ. So he's saying the time has come now. You think he was very aware of that Satan going into Judas Iscariot right then? Oh, and that's why he made the statement. Okay, time is now. Time is now. Things are going to get set here. All the stuff I've been preparing you for, all the stuff I told you about, now it's going to start to come to pass, you know? And so they didn't understand everything that he was saying. Not at all. They didn't know Satan had gotten into their friend, Judas. And I say friend because Jesus calls him a friend. When he betrays him in the garden, he said, friend, where comest thou from? He still called him friend. All of them were friends of his. They're all brethren of his also. Didn't he say that at different times? Call you friends, call you brothers. He said that. So the thing that's important is that we need to understand that Jesus is about ready to embark on something as the greatest act of a servant that a servant can do. Give his life. That's what he was going to do. But there was a lot of precious things that were going to happen prior to that. I say precious because of this. Now let's see what happens. Satan's entered into Judas. Now let's see what Jesus does. At the time that the enemy is bringing forth his betrayal, let's see what Jesus does. He made them all sit down. Took a towel, put it in his waistcoat there, whatever that was. Got a bowl of water and went around and started doing what? Washing their feet. That was the job of a servant. Even in the natural world, that was the job of the servant. You go to somebody's house, their servant would bring water to you, something for you to drink, and they would wash your feet because people wore sandals and stuff in those days. So to get the dirt off your feet and let you feel comfortable. That was one of the lowest jobs that you could have. But look at this. And he makes a statement. He said, if I, your Lord and Master, was he? Yes, he was. He said, if I can do this and wash your feet. So what's the point? He's getting to. What's that point, Ernest? Being humble, isn't it? Isn't it? Doesn't the scripture say there's you have to have humility before honor? You have to have humility before honor. I give all honor to God, but you know why? Because he showed his humility first. Him being who he was and coming down and robing himself in flesh to die for me, he showed humility first, didn't he? He's the one that showed it first. And now look at this example for the apostles. I'm going to wash your feet. Wash your feet. The lowliest job a servant could have in that day. Wash your feet. Gets to Peter. You know the story. He said, Peter asked him, dost thou wash my feet, Lord? What he's saying is, I should be washing yours because of who you are. And he told him, he said, thou shalt not wash my feet. You know Peter. He's always going to be brash at what he's going to say. But Jesus tells him something very important. He said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. Whoa, what? Okay, then my head, my body, everything. Wash me all over, Lord, because I want to have part with you. Very powerful, huh? And we might say the same thing. Might say the same thing. And there's something God's trying to show us here. Him as God. Remember, he told Philip, when you see me, you see the Father. You keep asking me, Philip, why you keep asking me that? When you see me, you see the Father. And then he had to tell another one of them. He said, oh, wait a minute. When you see me, you see the one that sent me. That was blowing their mind. Look at those statements like that. He knew who he was, but at the same time, he also said, I came, what Patty was talking about, that fifth chapter of Matthew. I came as a servant, not to be served, but to serve you. His servanthood is greater than any other that has ever been. Nobody's ever had the servanthood that he had. He served us. He served us. He you know what he served up to us? New life. Brought it on a platter and gave it to us because he did all the work for it. Isn't that true? We talk about sitting at that table being your heart, what comes out of it, what's there present, all of these things. In spite of the enemy being there, he said, I'm going to perform this because this is what my Father sent me to do. I'm gonna perform your will. I'm going to be the greatest example of a servant you'll ever see. Catch that. Now, are we supposed to be like him? Then what should we be the greatest examples of? Ah, serving, huh? But sometimes we're so self-centered about ourselves, it's all about us. Even the salvation is about us. I want my salvation, Lord. I want to do this. I want this. I want that. I want that. We want all kinds of things. Religion taught us that, by the way. Everything's self-centered. It's all about me. I need you to do this for me. I need you to do that for me. Oh, we want him to be a servant, but we want him to be like one of these. When I say something, you do it for me. We had the wrong concept of a servant, didn't we? Wrong concept. So here, the concept of being a servant, he turns it on its head. He said, if I, your Lord and Master, wash your feet, you should wash one another's feet. Is he talking literally about doing the ceremony all the time? We've done it, haven't we? Didn't we wash one another's feet, what, a year and a half ago or something like that? We do. I think every once in a while it's good to do. But the real thought of that is, he said, if I don't do this, you don't have any part with me. What was he really saying? If you don't humble yourself as that little child, as that little lamb, he said, you're not going to be able to serve the Father like I did. You're not going to be able to serve him the same way I did because you're too high-minded, too self-centered about what you want. Your flesh dictates what you want as opposed to allowing the Spirit to dictate what you should have. Isn't that what the real big problem is? So is he taking that flesh and bringing it into submission to be a servant? He did an open act that the lowest thing a person could do in that day, he chose that to show his disciples. He said, if I'm your Lord and Master, and look what I'm doing. Look what I did. Lord and Master. But I'm down on my one knee. I'm taking the towel. I'm putting your feet in the water. I'm washing them. And then I dry them. And then I move on to the next. And then I move on to the next. Now, here's the thing that you need to think about. Did he do it to Judas too? Sure did. Sure did. Did he know what was in Judas? Sure did. Did he still perform the act? He sure did. So let me tell you something here. Sometimes when we're working for Jesus and whatever, and we say we're being a servant, we have to realize that devil is right there with us while we're doing things. Isn't that true? So some of the things that we need to remember is that, yeah, we're on our journey to try to do the right thing for God, right? But are there times when our flesh intervenes or our thoughts intervene and we go into a darkness? Or we allow the devil to speak through us? Or we allow him to give us a thought? Or we allow him to tempt us to the point where we fall to the temptation? All kinds of things that happen. But we have to remember, he was present when the greatest servant did what he did. And Jesus didn't pay attention to him, did he? He went on and performed the act that he was going to do on every apostle. Think about that. So I imagine this is just me coming before Judas. He's washed. He went through the Peter thing, and Peter's telling him, then wash everything. But he gets to Judas. He knows exactly who's going to betray him. But he doesn't say anything about that when he's doing that. Takes his foot, washes it, takes the towel, whatever. And all the time in that man, in that apostle, because he had a bishopric, didn't he? In that elder, in that disciple, was a devil looking at him as he washed his feet. Is he going to be present with us when we try to do the will of God? That's true. Can we disregard him like the Lord did and say, I am a servant of God and will not yield knowing what they're trying to do? So was that the highest thing Jesus did just then? He washed their feet, but also the thing that was really important, knowing who was going to betray him, he performed the act. That's a form of humility. that's a form of God saying, I don't care what the obstacles are going to be, let's be a good servant unto the Lord. Let's be a good servant. He gave all as a servant, right? What should we be doing? We should be giving all to him. Well, wait. So what is this flesh stuff that keeps bothering us from time to time? Where's all these thoughts that come in? So if we're supposed to be doing that, then what should we be doing as he did? We should be denying that flesh and performing the will of the Father. That's it. What our main job in this whole, people say, well, I'm here to have children and have a good life, have a good job, get a home, get married, then I'll die satisfied. You know, things happen in my life, everything goes good. That's what they think. Well, here's the thing. Does any of that bring you salvation or heaven? But isn't that how people think? They think I'm here to do these things here. This is what my life is all about. But that's not what your life is about. Your life is hid with Christ in God, is what the scripture says. Your whole life is supposed to be geared towards serving God, pleasing God. And sometimes I think we forget that. Our whole life, what we were brought here for, as we were spoken from the mouth of the Father, a word from the beginning, what was he wanting? For us to do what? Please him, serve him. That was the whole thing. Why speak it if he didn't want us to serve him? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Why did God do that? Why did he ever speak you into existence for anything if it wasn't to serve him and to please him, do the things he desired? Well, they say, well, wait a minute. That's kind of a self-centered thought. No, it's not. What if God knows that if you serve him and please him, you get eternal life? Because he's the one that grants it. So that's much better than living a life in the flesh here and dying, not having anything to show toward God. Oh, wait a minute. So God's doing it for our benefit. It's our benefit to be a servant. It's for our benefit that we should love him. It's for our benefit that we should serve him with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's for our benefit that he's doing all of these things. He's God. He doesn't need anything else. But he wants to help you, his creation. He wants to do things for you because he loves you. He's doing it for your benefit, being a servant. So why did he serve? Why did he become a servant? Why did the shepherd and bishop of our souls become a servant? He became a servant because he loved us. He's doing this for you. That's pretty powerful. I was telling somebody the other day, God's sitting on his throne in all his majesty and glory, and he's thinking about me. I'm thinking about Kenny. He is. I'm thinking about Estrella. I'm thinking about her. You see how that works? I'm thinking about Laura. I'm thinking about Emily. I'm thinking about Jacob, Terry, all of you. I'm thinking about you. I'm thinking about how me in you is going to help you to make it. The Spirit of God that he's placed in you to help you to make it. I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about how I need to strengthen them in the time of weakness. I'm thinking about how I need to teach them when they don't understand. I'm thinking about how I need to lead them because they're lost. I'm thinking about how I'm going to take care of them when they're sick, or bless them when they have an infirmity, or strengthen them when the weakness becomes too great. I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about the burdens that they bear, and I won't put too much on them that they can't bear it. But we say, oh, Lord, it's too much. Don't we? But he said, no. I know what you can bear. All you have to do is believe me, and I'll show you what you can bear. You can bear more than what you think. I can take you through some things. Can't bear it, Lord. I can't bear it. You know, there are people that are losing whole families. And as to, I mean, amazing things that are happening to them. And yet they still hold on to a faith that says, well, God, I know you'll carry me through. Wow. Can you imagine that happening to you? Sometimes I think we need to walk in other people's shoes. To see that, we need to understand that, yeah, loss is something fantastic. It can hurt fantastically, doesn't it? when you have a loss? Well, all of us go through that. If we're going to be living any time in this world, we're going to go through it. I don't care whether it's parents or children or whatever it may be. We're going to suffer loss of some things, but we don't suffer the loss of Christ. He said, I will be with you forever and always. We don't lose him, do we? We may lose other things. We don't lose him. He is the servant. He's the one that's going to stick by you when nobody else sticks by you. And when things are going really bad, he'll come and comfort that heart. And people say, how can you take it? He says, not me taking it. Is God with me? God helps me. God is the one that does this. And once you start giving the glory to the right person, you'll understand. Then you won't judge. Then you won't go and say, maybe you don't deserve to be in this. I'll let you in, though. Now the next one, now you don't deserve. I don't like you. Maybe I'll let you in. You see how we start judging people according to the flesh. I'm sure glad God is the judge. Because he saw me do some terrible things, but he judged me faithful because he said, I know what he's going to become, and I know what he's going to do. Yeah. Those tears, don't cut them up yet. Don't pull them up yet. Remember he said, how you sowed good seed in this field. Where did the tares come from? Oh, those weeds came up because an enemy did it, right? And he said, now don't go pulling it up. We want to take our flesh and go pull it up. Don't go pulling it up because you may pull up some of the good with the bad. So I'll tell you what we'll do. They said that this morning in Chicago. Let the angels do the reaping. Because they're ministering spirits. They're a word from me. And so they know what to pull and what not to pull. They minister unto me, don't they? And so they'll know what to do. This one I'll leave. The other one, I'm going to have to take that one. You see how it works? So they know the harvest. They're good harvesters because they're led by God. They are thoughts of God. So they know what to harvest and what to leave, what to pull up, what to put into the thing to be burned, and what to pull in the barn to be stored. They know. So that's pretty cool, huh? Then it's out of your hands, out of the flesh's hands. It needs to be out of the flesh's hand because you make mistakes. You mess up. Now let me add myself in there. We make mistakes. Isn't that true? We make big mistakes. But let's let God lead and guide us. Him being a servant was the greatest thing that we ever could imagine for us. Say, what do you mean? Him being a servant means he cares about us. He's going to serve the Father to the point where he redeems everything the Father sent him to redeem. You're redeemed. They said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Know that you're redeemed. Know that God did this for you. Yeah, we may go down a path sometimes. This is a journey, and we may take one of them little curves. Yeah. God says, let's bring you back. Right? We do that in our minds, don't we? Why? Because we're still in the flesh. But I tell you what, flesh is becoming less and less to me. And the Spirit of God is becoming more and more. So that I don't consider the flesh, I consider the Spirit of God. Isn't that our choice? Start considering the Spirit of God. Wait a minute, what would the Spirit of God want in this situation? Well, let me listen, and he'll tell me. It's not a choice you make. It's a choice God does for you because he loves you. And you have this thing where you say, you know what? I'm leaning toward going the right way. I don't want to lean to my own understanding. I want to keep following Jesus because good things happen to me here when that happens. I feel good. I feel free. Some of us are so burdened we can't feel free. But what happens when God frees you because he's been the servant? He served the Father to the point where you gained freedom because he's in you and he wants to see you free. Didn't he talk about that liberty, Ernest? He said that, man, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. He wants you to have that freedom. Freedom from what? All that Satan and all those ugly thoughts and all that sin and everything. He wants to divide that away from you and let you become the servant that you should be. following his example. And he served the Father for everything, didn't he? Everything the Father asked him to do, he did. So if he pleased the Father like that, what is our job? We're supposed to be in the likeness of the Son, right? We've been translated to the kingdom of his dear Son. We've been changed in the mindset. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We've been transformed by the renewing of our minds. So what should we be doing? Same thing he did. Pleasing the Father, always pleasing the Father, always before the throne of grace, always pleasing the Father. Can we imagine ourselves like that? Can our imagination be always in the mind of Christ? It can be. It can be. Or else God wouldn't say it. We can do it. We're able to. And it's all by the Spirit. So I just want to urge you today to be a servant. Be a good servant. Be like Jesus. This was a servant that gave all, huh? And he was the greatest example of a servant. So what do we want to do? Don't we want to be like him? Aren't we supposed to be sons and daughters of God? Yeah. So this is what God wants us to do. Yeah, he was our shepherd, but he was also our servant, wasn't he? And do we want to serve God? Yes, we want to serve him in humbleness of spirit, right? Because it's going to take that. He that exalts himself is going to be what? Abased. But he that lowers himself, humbles himself, will be exalted. So who's going to exalt us? God will exalt us and take us all the way to the heavens, won't he? He'll do it. He said, wait a minute. Come on over here, thy good and faithful servant. Come on. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Enter into eternal life. Come on. Be good and faithful, guys. Be the servant he's calling on. Jesus was good and faithful as the servant, faithful in all things. We should be the same way. Our shepherd, the servant. Wow. Let it be us, guys. Let us be that servant. That's all I have today. But anybody got something? You want to add something or have a question about something we said today? This is good stuff. Think about who Jesus was. Washing those feet. Wow. You know, there's some people in this natural world right now that will say, well, if you have to enter into heaven, you need to wash this man's feet over here. Maybe somebody he hates. God said, no, I'm going to require you to wash his feet. What? What? Uh-oh, here we go. Can you reduce that pride, reduce that exaltation enough to do exactly, because did Jesus wash his enemies' feet? Was Judas there to betray him? Did he wash his feet? Oh. That's cool stuff. I love that.